Thank you so much. Twos and threes, fours and fives. You can be dismissed. And you can turn to the book of Acts. And I will be there in just a moment. We're going to be in a number of places in the book of Acts, really from approximately the middle of the book, about chapter 13 on. We're going to look at a variety of things. We've been talking about stewardship, and this, we have a stewardship of trust, that is the gospel. We need to relate it purely. And our example tonight is the Apostle Paul. I don't know of anyone else in the Word of God that could match the zeal for the gospel that the Apostle Paul had. There certainly may have been people that God chose not to tell us about. But as far as the characters in the Word of God, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone that was more passionate about the gospel than the Apostle Paul was. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The Apostle Paul certainly related the gospel purely to the people that he went to see. And what I'd like for us to do tonight is just look at some examples in the book of Acts. We're primarily going to be there. We'll choose one other passage of Scripture as we get towards the end of the message. But I'd like for us to look at Paul's pattern of the gospel. We are not going to talk about everything he did in the gospel, because that means we would preach most of the book of Acts tonight, and that's not possible. But we're going to do some highlights. As a stewardship of this trust of the gospel, we must relate purely the gospel to those around us. John Hyde was a missionary to India at the turn of the 1900s, right around the 1900s. He is mostly known by his nickname, Praying Hyde. But the reason for his prayer life is less known. John Hyde's prayer life resulted from the fact that he wanted a passion for souls. Now, I could tell you a lot about this man's life, but he would spend days, sometimes 30 to 40 days, with very little sleep, very little food, and very little water, begging God to give him India. As he went through his ministry and had very little fruit of it, he began to pray specific prayers that God would work in his midst. He got to a particular year of his ministry and he said, "God, this year I want to see one soul saved every day of this year." When that year finished, he had led over 400 people personally to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The next year, he said, "God, I want you to give me two people each day." And when the end of that year came, he had led over 800 people to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the next year, he said, "God, I'd like you to give me four people to win to Christ." And at the end of that year, of course, you can figure out the pattern. John had a passionate prayer life, and God answered his prayer, but his prayers were rooted around, "God, give me souls for the gospel." So I'd like for us to look at the Apostle Paul as we turn to the book of Acts and see his passion for the gospel. And we're going to look kind of in various places today. I'd like us to start with, and these are in no particular order necessarily, nor again are we going to cover everything. But I'd like us to look first off that the Apostle Paul related purely the gospel in the palace. In Acts chapter number 22. In Acts chapter number 22, and we'll kind of set the stage for what's happening. In Acts 21, Paul is arrested, and he asked the Roman people who arrested him if there was any way that he could make a defense before his people. And so there on the steps of the palace, if you will, where they were going to collect him to be imprisoned, he started this defense in chapter 22. "Men and brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Sicily, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And he continues to lay this pattern out for them. In verse 8 he says, and I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. He then talks about a little bit of those things. Look down in verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Now the Apostle Paul, in his defense, basically gives his entire testimony with the gospel and talks about his ministry specifically, that God had sent him to the Gentiles, and of course the Jews wanted nothing to do with the Gentiles. From this story, we could follow this through the rest of the end of Acts, where Paul eventually ends up in Rome. He is there imprisoned for multiple years, eventually loses his life there. But I love what he says in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. I love it. So you lock the Apostle Paul up in a prison. And of course, part of this time he had his own hired house where he can receive guests and he could preach the gospel to them and so forth. But he still had Roman guards there with him all the time. And of course, history records that Paul led many of them to Christ as well. So even in the palace, when Paul was there, he was able to witness. Number two, he had a passion for the gospel and he related it purely in the prison. Of course, this passage talks a little bit about that, but let's look back at Acts chapter 16, if you would, please. Acts chapter 16, and we'll pick up in verse 25. Acts chapter number 16 and verse 25. Of course, he's now in Philippi. They've been beaten for the gospel, thrown in jail, and we pick up after they've already been in jail. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he, the prisoner, the prison guard, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. It would be easy during a time of imprisonment to be concerned about what's happening to you. I mean, he had just been beaten, he and Silas. He was placed into a jail that was not a plush accommodation for the evening. Guards were chained to him. He was, if you will, at the bottom of himself. And yet in that circumstance, Paul continues to praise God. And as a result of that, got a great opportunity to share the gospel with these people. Look at Acts chapter number 28. Acts chapter 28. And again, this is still part of that original imprisonment that we talked about. Acts chapter 28 and verse 30. The Bible says, and Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidden him. Now, you would think that the persecution would have caused Paul to be silenced, but as we talked about this morning, when Paul faced persecution, all he prayed for was boldness to preach the gospel some more. So he preached the gospel in the palace. He preached the gospel in the prison. Number three, and these are all deeply connected, I understand, but he was able to relate the gospel purely during persecution. During persecution. Let's go back to Acts chapter 14. Do some turning here tonight, back and forth in the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 14. Again, let's get a little bit of the context. Paul again had been preaching the gospel in a city. They didn't like what he had to say, so they drug him out of the city and stoned him. They stoned him to a point that the people of the city were convinced that he was dead. Verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had, what's the next word in your Bible? Preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. So let me get this straight, Paul. So in the previous city, they dislike you so bad that they drag you out of the city. They stone you sufficient that the people around you think you're dead, including the people who love you. And while you're laying there, they're looking on you, thinking that you're dead. You all of a sudden rise up, get a good night's sleep, and go back to preaching the gospel. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul did. It's amazing. Look at chapter 24. Chapter 24. In verse 1, again, this is part of that original arrest that we looked at in chapter 22, and Paul eventually ends up in Rome. This is some of the middle section that's taking place. It says, and after 5 days, Annas and the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And so Tertullus gives his explanation of things and so forth. And then Paul gets an opportunity to present his case. Look at verse 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and having hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee, and object if they had aught against me, or else let these same say here if they have found any evil doing in me, while I stood before the council, except for this one voice, that I cried, stating among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. When Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the utmost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came and his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So Paul is witnessing to the very guy who could release him. But that doesn't bother Paul a bit. During persecution, he's passionate about the gospel. He figures if I'm going to be here, this is a platform in which I can use it to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, later on when he goes before another trial, he says to them, these things weren't done in a corner. I'm quite sure that you believe the law and the prophets. In his defense, he's preaching, which is a great thing to do. So Paul was passionate about the gospel in the palace. He was passionate about the gospel in the prison. He was passionate about the gospel in persecution. Number four, he's passionate about the gospel in peril. In peril. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 23 through 24. Paul is now headed towards Jerusalem. Multiple people have warned Paul what's going to happen when he gets to Jerusalem. And Paul says, look at verse 22, I think it'll help you with the context a little bit. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit in Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, it doesn't matter what faces me. Doesn't matter what difficulties might come my way. Doesn't matter what peril I might find myself in. As long as I get to preach the gospel, that's all that matters to me. And I'm going bound to Jerusalem to do that. In peril. Look at verses 27 and 28. Paul says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Talking to the elders at Ephesus. So in peril, Paul, again, preaches the gospel. We could talk about chapters 27 and 28, where the Apostle Paul eventually ends up on a ship bound for Rome. And Paul, again, ministers to the people of the ship. I don't think you are to leave this port. It's not a good idea. Storms are coming. And after many days of a really bad storm, Paul says, I kind of told you this was going to happen. When Paul gets to the island, what do we find him doing? Again, ministering to the people of the island. It just didn't matter. Wherever Paul found himself, if he was shipwrecked on an island, Paul's mentality was, hey, God must have had me shipwrecked on this island for a reason. Maybe these people hadn't heard the gospel. He had an opportunity to communicate that. So he was passionate about the gospel in the palace. He was passionate about the gospel in the prison. He was passionate about the gospel during persecution. Passionate about the gospel in peril. Number five, he was passionate about the gospel in various places or in many places. And two that I think are really interesting is, number one, he was passionate about the gospel in the synagogue. And we could look at multiple passages of Scripture, but we'll look at just a couple. Chapter 13 and verse 14. Chapter 13 and verse 14. He says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went unto the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Paul went to the synagogue on purpose. He wanted an opportunity to preach the gospel to the people that were there, to the Jewish crowd that was there. Look at verse 44, this same chapter. The Bible says, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Look at the next chapter, chapter 14 and verse 1. Chapter 14 and verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. By the way, you can keep turning in the book of Acts and you'll see this. This was Paul's pattern. Someone said Paul immediately got familiar with two places in just about every town he visited. A synagogue and a prison. That was typically true of the Apostle Paul. And by the way, he had preached the gospel in both of those. That doesn't bother him at all. So Paul ministered passionately the gospel in the synagogue, but he also ministered the gospel passionately in scenery, just anywhere he could go. It didn't matter. Riverside, hillside, it didn't matter. Let's look at a couple of those examples. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 13. Acts 16 and verse 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful in the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. By the way, this was the beginning of the churches at Philippi. But Paul said, you know what, doesn't matter to me. Wherever I get an opportunity to preach the gospel, I'm going to preach it. Look at chapter 17. Chapter 17. Verse 22. Chapter 17 and verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. I love it. So Paul gets to this city, there's an idol to the unknown God, and Paul immediately thinks, you know what, I can declare that to them. So they call together in the place where they had these discussions, Mars Hill, and he says, hey guys, this is what I got to tell you. This God that you're worshiping that you don't know about, I know who he is. Can I tell you about him? Paul begins to preach the gospel to them until he gets to the resurrection. And it is at the resurrection in verse 32 of this chapter. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed among the which was, and there's a couple of men there, and women and others with them. So in other words, some of these men said, Paul, we got what you're saying. We believe the resurrection, and we're going to listen to you. So even in this outdoor setting, if you will, the Apostle Paul again communicated the gospel passionately. And what happens? People come to know Christ as their Savior. Amazing thing. So in various places, and again, throughout the Word of God, we can talk about the island, we can talk about ships, we can talk about other places where Paul was passionately sharing the gospel. And then lastly, number six tonight is to people. That goes without saying, if you will, that Paul preached to people. He was passionate about that. There's really nobody else to preach the gospel to. And I understand that. But much of the book of Acts is about people, isn't it? We have individual names that Paul led to Christ. Individual people that Paul specifically led that eventually became leaders in various churches. And as Paul left behind, he left pockets of people who the testimony of the gospel had made an incredible impact in their lives. But think about who Paul was. Don't miss stuff in Scripture. Paul was a Jew of Jews, if you will. Jews didn't even like Gentiles, let alone would sit with them or eat with them or talk with them. They were dogs. They weren't worthy of anything. And he would have been trained in this prejudice, if you will, throughout the whole process. And yet when he pens the words in the book of Romans, chapter 1, he says in verse 15 and 16, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel had so radically changed Paul that he went from looking at people as Gentile dogs and privileged people to people need the gospel. And he believed the Jews needed the gospel. That's why he went to the synagogues. He wasn't primarily looking for Gentiles at the synagogues. He was primarily looking for his brethren. And then he went other places, anywhere he could possibly go to hear to preach the gospel. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 16, Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Paul understood that people need the gospel. Paul had a passion for it. It literally consumed every waking moment that Paul was alive. You find very little time when Paul was not focusing towards the gospel. Even when he was supposed to be recovering from places. You look at the book of Acts and you see places where people snuck him out of town and he was supposed to just quietly be over here in this little town. And the Bible says that as Paul looked about him and the whole city was given to idolatry, he couldn't help it. He had to say something about the gospel in these places. No matter what it cost him, this was his passion. And I don't know that any other thing explains Paul's passion for the gospel better than Romans chapter 9 and verse 3. Paul says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Paul said, "I would be willing to spend eternity in hell if that meant the Jewish people could be saved." Wow. You're talking about a passion. Now, obviously, Paul couldn't do that because every individual person has to make up their own mind. But that's who Paul was. That's what consumed him. He didn't know anything else. Matter of fact, if you look up the word gospel, just look how many times Paul uses that word in the books that he pens. It's amazing how it captured him and absolutely was a driving force of everything he did. Well, Pastor, he had to make a living. He did make a living at times. There was times when he had to sew tents and all that kind of stuff, but he did all that to get an opportunity to present the gospel to somebody else. And if he thought that making a living by sewing tents was a better avenue to preach the gospel to those people, then that's what he did. And if it was a better avenue for him to earn a gospel or earn a living through he that preaches the gospel should deliver the gospel, Paul believed that. But there were some cities where he wasn't willing to do that. He makes that very clear. He says, I didn't take advantage of this. He says that to the church at Thessalonica. He says it to the church at Corinth. It just didn't matter. It was his passion. It's what he was going to do. Whatever will give me the greatest opportunity to present the gospel to people. So how's your passion for the gospel? Do you relate it purely to others? Is it exactly what you want to do every day? An opportunity today, who God's going to bring across my path today that I can share the gospel with. Hey, well, Pastor, I don't have a lot of people that come across my path. Okay, pray for them. Pray that God will give you an opportunity. What that might mean, I don't know. Maybe you have a flat tire. Well, I don't want a flat tire. Well, I don't either. But if a flat tire gives you an opportunity to win somebody to Christ, is it worth having a flat tire? The Apostle Paul would say, are you kidding? Pop them all four? I mean, that's not in the Bible, but I believe that's what Paul would say, don't you? I mean, that was his passion. Do you mean to tell me that you're actually going to put me in jail where people are chained to me? They can't get away from me? This is going to be good. That's exactly the way Paul's attitude was. It's a great opportunity to preach the gospel. You mean I'm getting on a ship? And we're going to sail across the Mediterranean? Let's see, how many days will it take us to do that? There's nowhere for them to go. This is going to be great, you know? I wonder how many times those guys on that ship heard the gospel. Like, well, Pastor, the Bible doesn't say so. Look at his pattern. Everything about him screamed the gospel. Do you think he was on that ship and was quiet? I don't think so. Nothing in the Word of God tells us that, right? This was Paul's passion. As a steward of this trust, we must relate the gospel purely to those around us. Will you do that this week? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminders that we have. Thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul and how he passed this passion on to people like Timothy and like Titus and even John Mark and some of these, Lord. And you look at the last chapter in the book of Romans and you see person after person after person after person after person that Paul impacted with the gospel, and they're going on to serve you in various ways. The truth is today, we're talking about Paul because of so much of Scripture is penned about him. What a wonderful blessing that is. And may this be our passion. Please, Lord, help us with this. Again, heads bowed and eyes closed. I realize